take our Bibles tonight and be turning to the book of Psalms, and we're going to look in the 26th Psalm. We do enjoy being with your pastor and his wife, and they're gracious people, and we do occasionally laugh. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and I feel like I've got some medicine this week because we've laughed a few times. Amen. So, Psalm 26. If you're able to stand, please stand with us for the reading of the scripture. And I just want to read the entire psalm. Psalm 26, beginning in verse 1. Judge me, O Lord. I want you to think about these words as we read them this evening. It says it's a psalm of David. And David says this to God. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. I love the Psalms, don't you? Amen. There's no place in the Bible that does my soul more good than reading the Psalms. It continually, consistently encourages my heart, stirs my heart, really, to walk with the Lord. And one of the things I love about the Bible is it gives us glimpses into people's hearts and their lives, their struggles, their victories. And here we get a picture, really, of David's heart for God. He was a man after God's own heart. We know that. He wasn't perfect, but he wanted his walk with God to be genuine. He wanted it to be real. There's no place in this passage that you see any measure of hypocrisy, of pretense. You know, it would be a shame for a person to come to church and listen to preaching and yet not be genuine in our relationship to God. Here he talks about this subject. If you look in verse 1, for I have walked in mine integrity. And in verse 11 he says, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. And I want to use that as the title of our lesson tonight, Walking in Integrity. And let's pray as we begin. Father, we truly thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege of being in this place. We thank you for what our ears have heard, our eyes have seen, our hearts have felt, Lord, since we've been here. Thank you for the great service this morning and how it just blessed us and helped us and encouraged us, for the fellowship around the table, Lord, with your people, for the generosity of this church, Lord, for the kindness of your people. Lord, your people are the greatest people in the world. We thank you for that. We pray you'd bless tonight, help me tonight, as we look into this passage, Lord, to, Lord, just present truth in a way that, Lord, it'd be more than just information, that it might have a work in our heart, a resting place in our minds, in our heart. May it encourage and inspire us to walk closer to you in a genuine way, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, when I read these words, and I must admit I've read these words many, many times, but every time I read these words, they arrest my heart. This first verse, how the psalm is begins, he says, judge me, O Lord. You know, what I don't know of anything that would cause more trepidation in my heart than for God to judge me. You know, it's one thing for another person to judge us, a person maybe that only knows our external actions, only knows what they see about us, but God sees more than what is on the outside. God sees what's on the inside. God knows our motivation. God knows our thoughts. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why a consciousness of the fact that we will one day stand before the Lord, you know, at the judgment seat of Christ motivates us, because we will be judged, according to the Bible, by the Lord himself. Imagine that, standing before the judge. And yet here David, notice what he says in verse 1, judge me, O Lord. And then in verse 2 he says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. And then he says in verse 2, try my reins in my heart. I mean, what could possibly reflect a person's genuine desire, you know, for God to work in their heart than what David says here in these words, his willingness for God to judge his heart. Now, I'm going to get back to this as we move through the passage, but I just want to say, you know, there ought to be something about when we come to God that we want God to show us what's really going on in our hearts. That God, that we'd be real before God. And so David said it like this, Lord, I've walked in mine integrity. I want you to shine your light as deep into my soul as is possible and see that I have walked in mine integrity. So what is it to walk in integrity? First of all, what is integrity? The word means uprightness. It means completeness or innocence. Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language says moral soundness or purity, incorruptness, honesty. And I just want to say tonight, there's such a need in our lives for integrity. In our homes, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our friendships, in the church. Such a need for integrity. I preached a series of lessons to our teenagers in our teen Bible study, Sunday school, recently on the subject of lying, 3 or 4 weeks in a row, just talking about lying. Because I know y'all don't ever have a problem with that around here, but we've got some dishonest people in our church. And I'm being honest about it. After 3 or 4 weeks of teaching about lying, I came in the next week and I said, I want to teach another lesson, but I'm going to not talk about lying today. I said, I'm going to speak about this, speaking the truth in your heart. So we're going to quit talking about lying. Now we're going to talk about telling the truth. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes we come to church and we're not completely honest. We're not honest with God. We're not honest with one another. We're not even honest with ourselves sometimes. I believe one of my greatest frustrations with elected officials is a lack of integrity. Integrity is not perfection, because none of us could achieve moral perfection. All of us make mistakes. Even David, as we know, made some terrible mistakes. David did not say he was sinless, but he said he walked in integrity, uprightness, genuineness, sincerity. That was a part of his life. In Psalm 25, the previous chapter, look in verse 21, if you would please. Again, it's a psalm of David, and he says this, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. He was willing to stand before God as a man of integrity, walking in integrity. So that's what integrity is. So if walking integrity, if that's what integrity means, what does it mean to walk in integrity? Walking is different than talking. It's one thing to talk a good game. It's another thing to walk a good game. It's one thing to talk about prayer. It's another thing to have a life of prayer. It's one thing to talk about living by faith. It's another thing to live by faith. Walking integrity is more than saying we have integrity. So walking implies it's more than just understanding what it is. It's experiencing what it is. A lot of people can carry on a good spiritual conversation, but not be living what we say. You know, I've been pastoring in the same place for, as the preacher said, for 34 years as pastor, and I was worked with teenagers on staff there for 4 years prior to that. So some of the people now, you know, we've got people in our church that are married, you know, and are raising their families, and I married them. And then before their kids were born, and then their kids are having children. And so what I'm saying is some of these people I know pretty good. And sometimes I'll walk by someone and I'll hear them talking this real spiritual conversation, and it sounds really good, but I know them well enough to know that what they're talking is not exactly what they're walking. Walking means it's a way of life. Walking means it's that these things are included in our life, in our decisions, in our attitudes, in our priorities, in our behavior when we're on vacation, in our leisure, in our homes. It's the way we live. This was David's heart. He wanted to walk in integrity. He didn't want to just talk a life of integrity. He wanted to walk a life of integrity. So that's what it means to walk in integrity. And so as we look at this psalm, if you look with me in Psalm 26, I want to look through this psalm at some things that I believe constitute walking in integrity. And you could underline these or make notes in your Bible or whatever you would want to do. But there's several things that are clearly found in this passage that I believe are in a part of, involved in walking in integrity. First one's found in verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I've walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. I want to suggest to you tonight that a walk in integrity, a biblical walk, a scripture walk, is a walk of faith. He says in verse 1, I have trusted also in the Lord. A biblical life of uprightness is a life of faith. It's not depending upon ourselves, it's depending upon God. The life that pleases God is a life of faith. We know that because the Bible says so. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's depending on God. God is looking for people who will depend upon Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. David's life was a life of trust, not a life of self-reliance. The first introduction we have basically into David's life is where he really becomes a national man of prominence is when he killed Goliath. And how did he do that? He didn't do it by his military expertise. He did it because he depended upon God. Notice what it says in verse 1. I've trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. May I suggest to you tonight that we start to slide when we quit trusting in the Lord, when we start trusting in the arm of the flesh, when we start trusting in our ability to manipulate, to control. The life of integrity is a life of trust. David made a great mistake near the end of his life when he numbered Israel. It was a serious mistake. It brought God's judgment. It cost Israel thousands of lives. Joab warned David. David, you should not do this. It's not what God wants us to do, but David insisted. David should have understood and did understand later that God wanted David to trust in the Lord, not in his numbers and not in his military might. When we quit trusting the Lord, we start sliding. If we're not trusting in God, by the way, who are we trusting in? In ourselves. So first of all, the life of integrity is a life of faith. He walked in faith, in trusting the Lord. The second thing I'd like to mention, in verse 2, it says this, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins. Try means to test. Try my reins. Reins are that inner part of us. Try my reins and my heart. So second of all, not only is the life of integrity walking by faith, but second of all, it's walking in honesty and transparency. He says to God, examine me. You know, when you go to the doctor, I go to the doctor occasionally, and when you go to the doctor and say, Doc, you know, I just came in to pay you my $50 copayment, and I don't really want to know anything important, so we're just going to sit around in here a few minutes, and I'm going to go on, and I'll just tell my wife everything's okay. No, we ought to go in there and say, Lord, or, Doc, I want you to check me out. Listen to my heart. Put me on a, you know, on a treadmill if you need to. Take some blood, send it off, have it tested, see if there's anything irregular there. We want you to examine. If there's something about me that I don't know, I want you to examine me. A walk of integrity is a walk of transparency, a walk of honesty. Examine me means to prove me, test me, scrutinize me. You know, that's exactly the opposite of acting like everything's okay when it's not. We're good in God's house, we're good sometimes at acting like everything's okay when everything's not okay. And we're and to me, to step out there and say to God, Lord, I want you to check me out. Inside, out, any way you want to, I want you to check me out. Every time I think about this matter of an exam, I think about an interesting letter I got years ago, my wife and I got many years ago. Today's a good day to think about it, April 15th. We got this letter from the IRS saying that they would welcome us to come down and see them down in their headquarters, down there in Clayton, Missouri, down St. Louis, and they were auditing our taxes. And immediately my heart just, you know, not that I had anything to hide, of course. But so we go down and see them, and we spend hours just going over everything about our finances, and they enjoyed it so much. They said, well, we want you to go home, get every evidence you've got of every check you've written, every receipt you've got, every bank statement, bring all that information in. We're going to even spend more time with you. That's a blessing. You know what they were doing? They were examining our finances. They didn't just take our word for it. They wanted all the evidence, all the information. See if we might be having some kind of income that we weren't reporting. You know what I'm saying? They're very meticulous about that. They scrutinize. And you know what? That's what God wants us to do, and that's what God wants us to allow Him to do. You know, sometimes we just want God to deal with surface things. I truly believe that one of the things that's really hurting God's people is there are things that are unresolved, things they've never really been honest about, things they've never really dealt with, and they don't just go away. You know, if I've got something bad wrong with me, show me, tell me. Maybe I need to make some adjustments. I'll be willing to make adjustments as long as I don't have to give up coffee or chocolate. You know what I'm saying? I'll make major adjustments, but don't take my ice cream. But the point is, we ought to want God to show us, to be willing to, and maybe I'm wrong, preacher, maybe I'm completely off base on this, but I think in the church where I pastor, there are people, if they would ever get just genuinely, openly, seriously transparent with God and say, God, anything and everything in my life, I want you to show me if there's anything that's not pleasing to you, I think it would revolutionize their life. Amen. A walk in integrity is a walk in honesty and transparency. We're in Psalm. Let's go, we'll come right back to the Psalm we're in, but go to Psalm chapter 7, if you would. Psalm 7. In verse 8, it says, the Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. There again, a psalm of David. Judge me according to my righteousness, according to my integrity. I want you to look me through and through. Here in Psalm 26, he says, try my reins and my heart. That's a part of us that's so much inside of us that even we sometimes never really deal with those issues. It's the most invasive kind of spiritual search could go on in a person's life. And that's the true test, I believe, of sincerity, to let God show us where our walk is not pleasing to Him. We're in Psalms. Would you go, the next book to your left is Job. Would you join me there in Job chapter 6 for just one verse? Job chapter 6 and verse 24. Job says, Job verbalizes what we're talking about tonight. Job 6 and verse 24. Teach me. This is what he's saying to those critics of his. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Every time I read that, I think of a lady we had one time on our staff. When she was on staff as a secretary when I came there, and she'd been the church clerk for a long time, and she had a tendency to talk sometimes when she shouldn't, and she'd know it. And this is what she'd start talking, and she'd do this. She'd go, she'd grab her tongue. This is where she got it. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. You know, a lot of times you try to show people something is wrong. They just want to defend themselves. They want to give you an excuse for it. Job says, I'm gonna be quiet. Teach me. I'm gonna hold my tongue. Look at this. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Show me where I'm wrong. That's a man of integrity. Integrity is not just what we think about ourselves, and it's not even just what other people say about us. Integrity is what God knows about us. What is integrity? What is a walk of integrity? It's walking in honesty and transparency. Look in Psalm 26. Let's notice another thing that David said about this walk of integrity. Verse 3, for thy loving kindness, we're in Psalm 26:3. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. And notice the last part of that verse. I have walked in thy truth. God, I have walked in thy truth. First of all, he walked in faith. Second of all, he walked in honesty and transparency. Thirdly, he walked obediently. A walk of integrity is a walk of obedience. I have walked in thy truth. I am obeying. God, you know, I am obeying. I am walking in what you have shown me in the Word of God. I wonder on a typical Sunday morning if we could have a survey and ask people, let's be completely honest, not just 75% honest, 100% honest. Let's be completely honest. How many of you know there's something that you've done this week that is not pleasing to God? And I want to tell you, most people, if they're honest, would say, you know, that's me. Or how many of us, if we'd really be honest, we know there are things that we're not doing that God would want us to do. A walk of integrity is a walk of obedience. When we walk in obedience, we're walking integrity. We're not walking integrity when we're disobeying God. If we're holding grudges against people, if we're speaking conversations and things we shouldn't, if we're excusing compromise, walking integrity is a walk of obedience. A fourth thing in Psalm 26 that we find is David describes for me what a walk of integrity is. Look in verse 4. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. We'll talk about what that means in a moment. I have hated the congregation of evil doers and will not sit with the wicked. Now, we may not think this is important, but David did. David saying to God, Lord, search me, try me. I've walked in my integrity. One of the things he said is, I've tried to walk in the right company. I've tried to have the right associations. I have not sat with vain persons. I have not gone in with dissemblers. Dissemblers are people who are deceitful, they're false, they mislead people, give them the wrong impression. One dictionary says a dissembler is one who disguises or conceals with a false appearance. They act like something that they're not. You know, about 2 years ago, I don't know how long ago it's been really, but I think it's about 2 years, I started teaching our teenagers in our church in Bible study, in Sunday school. I became a youth director again. I need a vacation. But you know what I found about working with teenagers? I found out several things, but one thing I've been reminded of, they're a whole lot like adults in some ways. But one of the things that hurts them is their associations, their conversations, the people that they talk with and talk to and listen to. And David knew something that all people need to learn, and that is God is concerned about the company that we keep. He says it many different ways, several different ways in these two verses. I've hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. We're in Psalms, so let's go to Psalm 101 for just a moment. Go to the right in your Bible, to the 101st Psalm. Psalm 101 in verse 3. And I just want to, let me just kind of introduce this psalm. Once again, notice the title. It's a Psalm of David. He says in verse 2, I'll behave myself wisely in a perfect way. The question is asked in verse 2, oh, when wilt thou come to me? He says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Do you see the heart of David? In my own home, Lord, I want to have a right heart. And then notice what he says in verse 3, the middle of verse 3. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. He says, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Verse 5, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, someone who gossips and talks about his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. So much of what he says there has to do with the people he kept company with. I'm not saying we shouldn't try to win people to Christ. We shouldn't try to win sinners. We ought to. We ought to even try to help people who are Christians, who are caught up with bad attitudes and bad conversation. But we shouldn't make our fellowship with those people. I think one thing that hinders Christians from reaching their potential is they hang around the wrong people. They listen to too much gossip, too much criticism. They get involved in conversations that do not please the Lord. One of the first passages of Scripture most of us ever memorized was Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God feels strongly about those things. What is it to walk in integrity? It's to walk by faith. Yes, it is that. It is to also, though, walk in the right company. Have the right associations. A walk of integrity. You know, I tell these young people, you may be able to quote a lot of Bible verses. You may sing in the teen choir. But I'm telling you, if you spend all your time hanging around people that criticize mom and dad and badmouth the church and think that it's don't tell me you have a right relationship to God, because you don't. He walked in the right company. We're still in Psalm 26. The next thing I want to mention is found in verse 6. I will wash mine hands in innocency. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. He walked not only in the right company, not only did he walk in honesty and transparency and obedience and by faith, but he walked in forgiveness. I will wash my hands in innocency. I've washed my hands. He was confident. Look what verse 6 says. I love the language of this verse. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. He was confident. He could approach God's altar because his hands were clean. He didn't say I'm perfect, but he said I've got my life cleaned up. My hands are washed. We can't go to God like everything's all right if it's not. I've dealt with teenagers before that go soul winning and knock on doors, sing in the teen choir, and yet some of their fellow teens they won't even talk to. I'm telling you, that's not right. We've got to make things right with God. We've got to make, how are we ever going to have the right relationship to God if we don't do those things? I remember the verse there in Matthew 5, when you bring your gift to the altar, and there thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. First, leave thy gift at the altar. First, go be reconciled to your brother. Then come offer your gift. You know what God says? Don't go acting like everything's okay. You're going to sing. You're going to serve. You're going to teach your class. Don't go acting like that when you've got something against somebody else. Go make it right first. By the way, God hasn't changed. We may act like it doesn't matter, but it does matter. A walk of integrity is a walk in forgiveness. We're in Psalm 26. Let's just look across the page in my Bible, or maybe the page before this. Look in Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Psalm 24, did I say 23 and verse 4? It's 24 and verse 3. Don't pay attention to what I say, just what I mean. That's the way my wife and I work together. Don't listen to what I say, just listen to what I mean. Psalm 24 and verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? It's a psalm of David. Who can stand in the presence of God? Verse 4, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. He walked in forgiveness. In a walk of integrity, it doesn't mean we never make mistakes. It means when we make mistakes, we make it right. You know, we have to confess our sins. We have to own up to it. We have to make things right with God, make things right with others. I wonder how many people sometimes come to church and they've had some little spat, some little feud, you know, at home or in the car on the way to church and never get it right. And they come in and go teach their Sunday school class and sing their song. I hope it never happens, but I tell you, it could happen. God doesn't overlook those things. He wants us to make it right. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Look in verse 7. A couple more things and I'll be quick. Number 7, verse 7. Another part of this walk of integrity, that I may, he says in verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. May I suggest to you that David felt like this walk of integrity was a walk of gratefulness, that I may publish with thanksgiving, with the voice of thanksgiving. David was thankful for God's blessings. Now you say, why would you mention that? Because I think sometimes we can be like the children of Israel. You know, we grumble, we complain, and you know, we're not really grateful for what God's given us. You have to forgive me tonight, but I just think in standing where I stand tonight, in this country, in a good church, got the right Bible, singing the right songs, you know, with good health, I think I'm pretty blessed. Amen. 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 I mean, I'm not saying we don't have any problem, but we're a blessed people. We ought to be giving thanks every day. Matter of fact, if we gave thanks all day, every day, we couldn't give thanks too much. David focused on his blessings. He focused on the love of God. He mentioned that in verse 3. He says, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. God, I'm just focused. I'm seeing. It's obvious to me that you love me and you've been good to me. A walk of integrity is a walk in gratefulness. I'll tell you, an ungrateful person, and I don't think this would apply to anyone here tonight, but an ungrateful person who's not content, someone who is a chronic complainer, will not have a meaningful walk with God. Complaining angers God. Numbers 11:1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. You think God still gets angry when people complain? Be something to think about, wouldn't it? I think negative people, critical people, and I'm not saying they can't be saved, but I'll tell you, they can be a hindrance to God's work. Focus on the good things. Amen? We got a lot of things to be thankful for. Now, you say, well, preacher, I've had things happen to me that, you know, I don't really like, and it's brought grief and pain and problems, and you know what? Far as I know, most everybody could say that. But if all you do is focus on the negative things, you forget all the ways you've been blessed. We had a great message about that today and this morning. If you weren't here, you ought to get the CD or whatever it is and listen to it. Great message about having a positive attitude. Amen. I liked it. We ought to walk, and that walk of integrity is a walk in gratefulness and appreciation for what God has done. And the last thing I want to mention, and this you'll like the best, because it's the last. Verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. David, when David's talking about a walk of integrity, he mentions something that a lot of people would overlook. His walk of integrity was a walk in God's house. He walked in God's house. Notice his attitude in verse 8. I have loved the habitation of thy house. What an attitude. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We're in Psalm 26. Look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27 in verse 4 says, a psalm of David. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I tell you, thank God for the house of God. Amen. I don't attend church here very often, kind of like probably some of your members. I come every couple of years, but we've got some like that at our church. But I can tell you something about your church. It's not perfect. You say, how you know? Because I know some of you. No, because I know no church is perfect. Church where I pastor is not perfect. They don't have a perfect pastor. Nobody in the church is perfect. But I'll tell you, I'd take God's people over any people in the world. I love the church. God's used this church to help me in so many ways. You say, David was talking about the temple, the house of God. Well, we know, according to 1 Timothy 3, that the house of God is the church of the living God. Amen. It's the New Testament church. And David's focus, look on verse 8, his focus wasn't on perfection of the people. Notice what he said, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. He focused on God's presence in the house of God. Yes, sir. Look in verse 12. My foot standeth in an even place, in the congregations will I bless the Lord. David's walk of integrity, the walk of David that pleased God, is a walk that put an emphasis on the house of God. You probably know this, I know it for a fact, that there are a lot of people who talk about loving the Lord who don't have any time for the house of God. But the biblical walk of integrity doesn't minimize the place of God's house. Let me just close tonight by saying God wants us to walk uprightly. He wants us to walk uprightly, not just talk uprightly, but walk uprightly. David had his faults. We all have our faults. But David dealt with them honestly. He sought to walk before the Lord in integrity, to keep his heart right with God, his heart right with others. He lived by faith. That life begins at salvation, but it doesn't end at salvation. Some people have this strange idea that, you know, you come to God by faith, you trust in Christ by faith, you put your faith in what he did on the cross, and that's the end of the faith life. No, that's the beginning of the faith life. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk of honesty and transparency. Lord, search me. Search. That's what Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. It's a life of transparency and honesty. A life of obedience, of having the right associations. Always confessing our sin, having our sins cleansed. Being grateful for God's blessings. Being faithful to God's house. Tonight, let's purpose to walk in our integrity. Look with me, if you would, in verse 1. Notice what it says. Judge me, O Lord, for I have, that's past tense, I have walked in mine integrity. Look in verse 11. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. That's future tense. Let's purpose to walk in and be men and women of integrity. That's what young people need growing up in Christian homes, moms and dads who have integrity. That's what church members need, is preachers who have integrity. I thank God that you have a pastor that certainly meets that description. When our walk is not pleasing to God, it ought to be our desire to change our attitude, change our direction. And maybe tonight you could just take a moment and think about this as we have our time of invitation. Lord, search me. It could be that God has been working on you about something in your life, maybe for some time. Something that you know is not right. Maybe something's happened between you and a Christian brother or sister. Maybe something's happened between you and your husband or wife, or you and your mom or dad, and we can kind of gloss over it and act like it's not there. But you know, you'll never be right till you make it right. I remember one time when I was a boy, I was running in our yard, and I fell and hurt my arm. Hit my arm right there on something, and it just bruised. And you know, like a boy, you just go and keep playing, don't think too much about it. And days went by, and I don't know how long it was. May have been a week or more. That thing just got sore and tender, and just bothering me. And then it got kind of inflamed, like sort of red. But I just kept on about my business. And then one day, I bumped that arm. Now, this is going to be kind of gross to think about, but I bumped that arm, and when I did, something started coming out of that. And it was a fish bone. I'd fallen where we'd been cleaning fish, and that bone had just gone up in my arm. And don't you feel sorry for me? You know, I didn't know it was in there. It had been in there for a while. But something hit it and made it surface and come out. And you know what? I often think about that. That's the way some things are in our heart and our life. You know, we just kind of ignore them, like, it'll be okay. It hurts a little now, but I'll get over it. But you know what? You never get over it till you really get it out. And could be tonight there's something in your walk. Maybe something you know God would want you to do and you're not doing it. You know, you say, well, nobody else does it either. I mean, I know I'm not witnessing, but nobody else is really doing it. And I know I'm not really praying like I should, but I don't know anybody else is really doing it. We just kind of make excuses for it. But that don't fix the problem. Maybe you've got something against someone. You've never really made it right. Tonight would be a good night and say, Lord, would you just search me? Would you just shine that searchlight into my heart, way down into my reins? And anything in there that you want to deal with, anything that needs to be changed, Lord, I want to get it right. I want to walk with a life of integrity.